The following articles appeared in Thursday, February 21, 1918 edition of the Thompsonville Press, Thompsonville, Connecticut. Established 1880. Single copy, 5 cents. The press has a larger circulation in the territory between Hartford and Springfield than any other newspaper. It pays to advertise in it. Warns the nation to guard girls. Keep them out of factories. Man workers are not exhausted. Miss Margaret Slattery of Boston, known from coast to coast as a lecturer on girlhood, Sunday night denounced factory managers who seek to have girls take the places of men in their plants. The address, entitled American Youth and Democracy, was delivered at a meeting of the Ford Hall Forum. "You businessmen of America, keep your hands off American girlhood," she cried. "If there is a real shortage of man labor, call upon women over 25. They can do the work with less danger to prospective citizens of New America than can girls in their teens." She also spoke of the danger to girls that lurks in the streets of every great city. She said that in New York, it was found that lists of missing persons included more names of girls in their teens than of any other class. "In the recent draft, thousands of our boys were rejected as physically unfit. Why? Because the mothers of these boys were forced to work over machines when they were in their teens. Employers are putting girls to work running elevators and doing men's work in stores. They say they are unable to get men to do the work. In many cases, the fact is they employ girls because they can pay them cheaper wages than they can men. Many unscrupulous manufacturers are taking advantage of present-day conditions and falsely asserting that male help is unobtainable." Miss Slattery hits the nail on the head when she says in many cases the fact is that they employ girls because they can pay them cheaper wages than they can men. There are thousands of men in middle life who are still able to serve efficiently in all lines of endeavor. Next article, special town meeting many expected to attend. Interest will center around levying of town tax, some reasons why they should be kept down. Outlook bad now, but after the war, watch us grow. This evening at 8:15 p.m. in the Casino Hall will be held a special town meeting for the purpose of levying a town tax, and a large number expected to attend. The levying of a town tax is always important, and therefore everyone in the community should take an active interest in the meeting. It is the easiest thing in the world to levy a tax, and our country, insofar as taxing the people is concerned, is advancing at a mighty rapid rate. United States Senator George McClain stated in the Senate the other day that the idea of levying taxes in this country has gone beyond reason and necessity, and that Congress must be careful not to tax people to the extent of being forced into bankruptcy, many believing that money should be borrowed, insofar as paying is concerned, they say. Let the future generations take care of it. If we are going to be proud of what we are doing in this generation, we certainly must be careful as to what we hand on as a heritage. Last year in Enfield, the tax was 12 mils, and by economizing and careful administration, the town ought to get along with that amount this year. Public officials should be able to say no where a great many propositions are presented to them, and the public should realize that the money in the treasury of the town should be carefully conserved. The selectmen, of course, will be ready to answer all questions and will have a thorough, explicit, and comprehensive report to make to the citizens, in which they will show their needs and requirements for the ensuing year. And there may be some measures that they will advocate which could just as well be eliminated at the present time. Just because the tobacco growers are getting good prices for their product, it must be remembered that labor is high, fertilizer is high, foodstuffs are high, insurance has increased, and the net profits are not more now to the tobacco grower than they were years ago. Aside from that, all the spare funds that he has today, he is asked to put them into Liberty Bonds and thrift stamps, investments which he must necessarily make if our army is to be equipped and supplied with food and ammunition. In the Thompsonville district, it is estimated that from 2,000 to 3,000 people have moved within the last year and one half. Our principal industry is running on short time, and if there was ever a time in the town of Enfield when taxes should remain as they are or be decreased, this is the time. Because in increasing the taxes means an increase in the living expenses of every family and every person in this community. After the war, Thompsonville ought to be one of the most thriving places in the country, and when the boom comes, then will be the time to increase the taxes so that debts already incurred might be paid, but at this time taxes should be left as they are, and town officials should eliminate every unnecessary expense. Next, letters from our soldier boys. Former member of Father Matthew Drum Corps, now in France, January 8, 1918. Dear editor of the press, I wish to thank the Red Cross for the Christmas box. We are very well over here in France. I enlisted with the boys of Thompsonville, but am now in the 102nd U.S. Infantry Band as bass drummer, and am very much satisfied with it. Music is what keeps us cheerful. I and all the rest of the boys expect to return home with victory. I have also received a box from the Alvin D. Higgins School and was pleased, and so were the rest of the boys. Also the sweater and cap from the town committee, and we all realize that the good old town of Enfield is with us. As I am an old member of the Father Matthew Drum Corps, my work over here in the band is practically the same. I shall be glad if you will send me the press, as news from home is very interesting here. We always like to know what is going on at home. I received a copy of the press from my folks, and it was so interesting to me that I sat down and wrote to you as soon as I read the first page. Trusting you will answer soon, yours truly, musician Edward L. Gallipo, 102nd U.S. Infantry Band, American Expeditionary Forces. Passed by censor. Next, February 11, 1918, editor of the press. Through the press, I desire to express my thanks and sincere gratitude for the splendid comfort kit received by me from the Red Cross of Enfield, and wish them much success in the furtherance of the great work which they have undertaken to perform in the present crisis. Sincerely, Sergeant Frank Hartig, Company F, 327th Infantry, Camp Gordon, Atlanta, Georgia. The following is a copy of a letter received by Mrs. Thomas Chatterton from her son Tom, dated January 28, 1918. Dear Ma, just a line to let you know I'm well and feeling fine now. I was in the hospital sick, and the day I was going to be discharged to go back to my company, a fellow got scarlet fever and we were quarantined for several days, so that I was in there for 17 days. The last 7 days I was helping the orderly in my ward, so when I get back home I'll be able to do anything such as washing dishes, mopping floors, fixing beds, and lots of other things. We've been having fine weather for the last 3 weeks. The sun has been out every day, and we've been able to go out with only a jacket on. While I was in the hospital, I met a good fellow that came from Chicago, and the both of us used to work together. How is everyone at home getting along lately? I see by the papers that you've had quite a lot of snow this winter. I haven't received any mail since I've been down here, but I expect quite a few letters when I get back tomorrow, and I sure hope there's one from home, for I'd like to know how you all are. Well, this is all for now, so I'll close with love. I remain your son. Private Thomas Chatterton, Headquarters Company, 102nd U.S. Infantry, American Expeditionary Forces, via New York. A letter has been received from Private Henry Bradsnyder, who is with the American Expeditionary Forces in France, in which he wishes to thank the Red Cross Committee for the knitted outfit which he received in France, and he also writes that it seems good to know that they are not forgotten back home. The outfit came in mighty handy. Corporal Thaddeus Blazowski, who is with the American Expeditionary Forces in France, has sent a letter home in which he states that the boys have received their first pay since leaving the USA. He also says there is lots of trouble about making change as money is so different in France. $10 over there is 50 francs. The next story, more young men go into camp last 15% for Division Number 8. There are 11 towns in the district, Thompsonville, to supply 17 men. List of the draftees as given out by the draft board. The draft board for Division Number 3 has announced the names of the remaining 15% of the first draft who have been chosen for service. Of the 11 towns comprising the district, Thompsonville will supply 17 men. The young men, together with a few alternates who will leave soon for the National Army containment at Camp Devens, are as follows. Peter Benalla, 29 Morgan Street of Hartford. Fred W. Veets, East Granby. Ernest Dibble, 36 Thomas Street, Westfield, Massachusetts. Alec Makowski, Main Street, Windsor Locks. Ernest Veronese, Simsbury. Pathy Verdiglio, 65 Church Street, Thompsonville. George R. Ramsdell, 31 Court Street, Windsor. Duncan W. Hebebrand, Windsor. Vamdano Emilio, 77 School Street, Thompsonville. Audria P. Pizale, 17 and a half Witten Street, Windsor Locks. Fred W. Wilson, Care Live Oak Inn, Oakdale, California. Joseph P. Long, 83 Prospect Street, Thompsonville. Alfred W. Nealens, Hazardville. Carl E. N. Carlson, Collinsville. John Kamek, Suffield. Felix J. Zero, Russell Avenue, Suffield. Giuseppe Sant'Andrea, 63 School Street, Thompsonville. Nick Antink, Windsor. Luigi DeFeo, 90 North Main Street in Thompsonville. William Reiner, Bloomfield. Philip Guglielmori, 33 Witten Street, Windsor Locks. Jarvis P. Lovell, Windsor. Carmine Conte, 33 North River Street, Thompsonville. Joseph A. Bodkin, Broadbrook. Arthur C. Lewis of Windsor. Leon E. Perry, RFD, Bloomfield. Michael A. Vaslow, Heard Avenue in Bridgeport. Giovanni Valentini, 2 South Witten Street, Windsor Locks. Evipetes Daniel, 21 Cottage Green, Thompsonville. Alexander L. Bridge, Hazardville. Alex L. Goodsky of Collinsville. John J. Petraria, Windsor. Theodore V. Peterson, RFD, South Glastonbury. Giuseppe Milardi, 5 Park Avenue, Thompsonville. Francesco Savarazzo, 9 New Street, Thompsonville. Giuseppe Bivondo, Boswell, Pennsylvania. Tancred A. Thorin, North Granby. Alfred W. Merritt, Windsor. Andrew Titus, Windsorville. Lester M. Bradley, Canton. P. Edward O'Brien, 24 Alden Avenue, Thompsonville. Herbert A. Marks, 9 Franklin Street, Thompsonville. Benedetto Alfano, 34 Tariff Street, Thompsonville. John J. Lang, 167 Allen Place in Hartford. Richard B. Eldridge, 9 Avenue B, Schenectady, New York. Hugo B. Carrison, Collinsville. William B. Midwood, 25 Andrew Street, Springfield. Abram Bauer, Windsor. Giles E. Porter, 27 Burns Avenue, Thompsonville. William McNash, Suffield. George B. Lynch, 115 Elm Street, Thompsonville. Andrea Positano, 31 South Elm Street in Bristol. The following are the colored registrants in the remaining 15% who will be assigned some camp other than Devon's. Charles Jordan of Windsor, Clifford V. Barber, Windsor, Charles McCrae, 72 Suffield Street in Hartford, James A. Saylor, East Granby, Otis Duncan, Box 196, East Granby, Charles E. Peniston, South Orange, New Jersey, Carl B. Babcock of Windsor, Robert Reynolds, 100 Walnut Street, Hartford, Hansel Dunn, Windsor, James Sands, Windsor, Leroy T. Jackson, Windsor, Henry Jones, Enfield Street in Enfield, John Rice, RFD, Perry, Georgia, George L. Niles, Cook Hill, Windsor, Eugene T. Bolden, East Granby, Joseph E. Miltier, East Windsor Hill, A.D. Leonard of Broadbrook.